Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're moving and journeying through the book of Joshua. I knew we'd have a great crowd today. School's back in session. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say something nice. Y'all look so nice. Okay. All right. Okay, y'all stop the lying right now, okay? It's great to have everyone with us today. And man, to start off with believers' baptism, to hear what God's doing on our Austin Peay campus, and then to get to sing praise to the Lord, and we get to rightly divide the word of truth today. God is good, is He not? God is so, so good. Now, I'm going to read the first 15 verses out of Joshua 10, so I won't ask you to stand again. But honor, whenever God's word is read, whenever it's taught, whenever it's preached, we need to respect that. Because Jesus is not only the living word, He is the written word. And so we're in Joshua chapter 10, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and had utterly destroyed it as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoam, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Deber, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me. Aren't you glad I waded through those names? That was good. Come to me and help me that we may attack Gibeon, for it's made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it. Verse 6, and the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there had been no day like it, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Is that not an amazing passage of Scripture? Father, we desperately need Your help now to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray, God, that You would help us get an explanation of this passage of Scripture and then help us make an application to this passage of Scripture. Help us answer the what, so what questions of this text. I thank You that You are the God of the Word and the Word of God. We love You, Lord. Honor Your Word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, for the last several weeks, we've been journeying through Joshua. And what a trip it's been. This great book was written so that we would understand how Joshua and the Israelites were able to claim and possess all that God had given them in Canaan land. And it was also written for us today that we might, so that we might understand how to have victory on a daily basis over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want to tell you, I see a lot of believers today, a lot of Christians who are living not a victorious life, but a defeated life. Eking out some type of miserable existence, wondering, is this all there is to this life? And I want to tell you, victory can be yours today over any enemy because Jesus won the victory for us at Calvary. And all we simply need to do according to the book of Joshua in the Bible is plug in to that victory. I don't know what it is that you're facing tonight, today. Maybe it's some big problem. Maybe it's some relationship. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's some kind of physical deal, an illness, surgery, sickness. Maybe it's something else. But I want to tell you, there is victory in Jesus Christ over all of our enemies, over all of our problems. There is victory. Look at your neighbor and say, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Y'all do know what that spells, right? All right. Now, the first nine chapters in Joshua deal with the central campaign as Joshua and the Israelites are marching and claiming and possessing those cities and the land that God wanted them to have. And then chapter 10, which we're looking at this morning, and for time's sake, I'm just going to deal with the first 15 verses today. But that's the southern campaign. And then chapter 11 is the northern campaign. But today we're going to learn and look at a victory that God gave to Joshua and the Israelites that people are still talking about today, ever since it happened 3,400 some odd years ago. Wow. And I want you to see, first of all, there's some supernatural forces at work in this great victory that God gave to the Israelites. Now, you remember, when the enemies of God, these five kings, these five Amorite kings, heard about the covenant, the peace treaty that their neighboring city, Gibeon, and the Gibeonites had made with Joshua and the Israelites, they got mad as hornets. Y'all know how mad a hornet can get? Well, they decided, they've made peace with the enemy Israel. And so they decided, all five kings, all of these five cities decided to march on Gibeon and wipe them out for making a peace treaty with Israel. And, you know, how many have heard, the old saying, the chickens always come home to roost? Joshua had made a tremendous mistake. He shouldn't have made a peace treaty with the enemy. But you remember the story from last Sunday, how these people had deceived the children of Israel and put on the old clothes and had the old bread and the old wineskins and all that. And, oh, we've come from a long ways just to make the peace with you all. And so to make a long story short, they'd entered into a peace agreement with Israel. And Israel had given their word that they would not destroy Gibeon and the Gibeonites, and that anybody else that came against them, Israel would help defend them. And so now it's time to sit down at the table. The Gibeonites are under attack from these other five Amorite kings. And they send word to Joshua, "Help!" And I'm so thankful that Joshua and the leaders of Israel were men of their word. And can I just park right here for just a second? Brother, sister, be a man or a woman of your word. It's one of the most important things of who you are. Integrity. Honesty. Say what you're going... Whatever you said, do it. Be a man of your word. Be a woman of your word. If you said, "I'm going to do this" or "I'm going to do that," do it. Amen?
Amen.
And so they head out, Joshua and the Israelites. Now it's about 30 miles from Gilgal to Gibeon. And so Joshua gets the word and they travel, they march all night long, 30 miles, and they barely make it to Gibeon by daybreak. And I want to tell you, God is with Joshua and He's with the Israelites. Because the Bible plainly tells us there, He guarantees victory. He said, where was it? And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." And so they've been marching all night long. And about the time they get there, the Amorite kings say, "Oh no, here they come." And they take off on a dead run. And Israel's already winning the victory. And the Gibeonites, I'm sure, are shouting and praising God, "Ho, victory's going to be ours. We're not going to die. We're not going to be wiped out." And so God begins to give victory to Joshua early that morning. And the Bible says there in verse 11 that these something supernatural begins to happen. There's hailstones falling from heaven. And more people died in the enemy camp running from those hailstones than they did from the sword of the Israelites. How many of you know it is so important to make sure that you're on God's team? It's not, is God on my side? No, am I on His side? And so, and then, to make a long story short, God had told Joshua, as they're possessing Canaan land, that they were to wipe out the enemy. Because Israel wasn't strong enough to stand. You know, all these kings and all their families had pagan gods, and they were sacrificing their babies and their children to the fire god, and they worshiped the sun god and the moon god and all these other gods, and they were living in gross immorality. They were pagans, and so God knew in His own wisdom Israel would never be able to stand if they allowed all these people to infiltrate and stay in that culture with them. And so Joshua's winning, and he said, "Lord, if we're going to do what You've sent us up here to do, I've got to have some more time." And so evidently, although they're winning the battle, if night falls, these other five kings and some of their men would make it back to their fortified cities, and it would be that much tougher and that much harder and that much longer in order for them to have victory. And so Joshua prays one of the boldest prayer in the Bible. I mean, it's an amazing, and he prays this prayer in front of God and everybody. He wants Israel to hear this prayer. He wants His people to hear this prayer. And he begins to pray, "Sun, stand still." You ever prayed a prayer like that? Huh? "Moon, stand still." And the Bible says what? Now, y'all, I've done a lot of reading this weekend. And this sounds like, now wait a minute now, Pastor. You expecting me to believe that the sun stood still? I've read, I think there was 12 different explanations for this on the internet and in different commentaries. This was a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse to We're not talking about a 24-hour day. We're talking about just a simple 12-hour day. We're talking about all these other things. But you know what I've come down on today. If the Bible says the sun stood still, the sun stood still. I mean, the laws of nature are subject to the one who created nature. And if God tells the laws of nature to relax, to suspend, or tells those laws that he breaks, it doesn't matter. They have to do what he tells them to do. I mean, any God like our God that could create the universe out of absolutely nothing is able to stop the sun. Now, I was reading some, NASA came out a few years ago with some kind of gobbledygook that they had proven this deal, that there is an extra day somewhere. But it was, I also read from Answers in Genesis and the Kim Hand Bunch, you can't go with that NASA account because that was kind of fabricated. You do know you can't, our president is right about one thing, you can't believe all the news you hear, right? But, having said that, let me say this. If God can create a universe like we live in out of absolutely nothing, He can stop the sun. And He can stop the moon. How did He do that? Guess what? I don't know. I have no clue how He did that. But you know what? I don't have to understand everything. I'm just supposed to believe Him. And if that's what the Word says, and this is where our critics and our cynics, they just have a field day with this. But you know what? I also ran across this. The Chinese, the Peruvians, the Incas, the Aztecs. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all have had history classes, right? Well, all of these different cultures have calendars, and every one of them has a missing day in their calendar. I don't. And by the way, I looked at a lot of science. Do y'all know how fast the Earth is spinning and rotating around the equator? 1,000 miles per hour. And if now let's just say we were in a car that was going 1,000 miles an hour. And all of a sudden it stopped. Where are you going? So I don't know how God did this. But I want to tell you, I believe what the Word of God says. And out of love for Jesus. And by the way, I think it blesses God by the prayers we pray. Have you prayed a sun stand still prayer lately? That's how big our God is. Have you prayed a sun stand still prayer lately? How many of y'all remember the General Jackson deal? Y'all remember that? You know, there was a part of me during those days when not once but twice we couldn't get that boat here. And I just knew that's what God wanted to do. Because He'd opened up all these doors for us. And there's a, you know, Satan whispers to your pastor also. Well, big boy, you're really about to look like the biggest fool in Clarksville now. And I guess I am crazy. But you know what I found out during that ordeal? God brought the churches together for the Jesus rally because we weren't quite ready. And maybe the General Jackson was going to get all the glory that week instead of Jesus. I don't know. But I want to tell you, it blesses God by the prayers we pray and how large they are. And I believe this prayer of Joshua, the sun stood still. Now, does the sun stand still? No. I mean, obviously, the sun's... And when he says... I watched the weatherman last night, and he gave the time of sunrise and the time of sunset. Does the sun rise? No. Does the sun set? No. The earth? That's right. So Joshua and that weatherman were using observational language. Okay? But somehow, and I don't know how God did it, but he gave Joshua enough time to completely get the job done. And I don't have time this morning to run through all of this, but the key for me is right there in verse 14. And there has been no day like it, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. And here it is, for the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord fought for Israel. Can I tell you, brothers, sisters, listen to me. You are not in this battle all by yourself. This battle that we have against the world and the flesh and the devil, God's with you. If you're one of His children, He's with you. You can't even get away from Him. Jonah found that out. He found himself in the belly of a great big fish trying to run away from God. And I want to tell you, God is with that same God that was with Jonah is with us today. And the same God that was with Joshua is with us today. And whatever it is that you're faced with today, let me tell you, God will fight that battle with and for you. Look at your neighbor and say, W-I-N, we win. Now, let's just get a little bit more personal. What is it that you're dealing with? I don't care what it is. If you're a believer, God will be blessed by a great big prayer from one of His children. We were at children's camp up in Hillmont in White Bluff, Tennessee, about 13 years ago. And one of the finest young families in the church had just had a baby girl at the hospital in Columbia. Well, Mom had already gone home. The baby was premature. And Mom had already gone home, but she was back in and out of the hospital and everything. And the baby was doing pretty good. But then we got word at camp. My youth pastor and my children's pastor and director got word that things had turned for the worse. And so the three of us hop in an old red van and head up to Vanderbilt. And about the time we got in there, Suzanne and Matt McLean, the parents of this brand new baby girl, are at their wits' end because their baby girl's dying. And as soon as I got there, I was asked, do you want to go back here and see the baby? And I said, yes, I do. And so I went back there and I saw this little premature baby, Maddie K. McLean. And the doctors were saying she's dying. So I prayed over that baby, and I went back to the waiting room, which was where Matt and Suzanne were. And while I was in there praying with them, the doctors came in and said, it's time to come say goodbye to your baby girl. And so, I mean, there was tears filling up the whole room and everything. And I'd asked God to touch that baby and heal that baby. And from the waiting room to where that little baby was in the back, by the time, that was a matter of about 60 seconds. When I'd left, the baby was black from here down. She had, I don't even know what this means, Sarah, you, hemangiomas. Y'all may know what that is, but anyways, choking the life out of that baby. And there wasn't anything they could do. But in that 60 second period, we got back and a miracle had taken place. That baby was pink and looking around like this. And God touched that family that day. And I want to tell you, He is a miraculous, miracle-working God. And sometimes He'll do something supernatural and miraculous and give victory to the child of God. Does He always do that? Not always. I was over at Bob and Carolyn Golden's this past Monday. And you know, Bob had been out at MD Anderson with his cancer. And he got the best results that anybody could ever get with those stem cells replacement deals that he got. The little bag that was hooked up to his bed was $500,000. And he got those infusions, and immediately the doctors declared that Bob was in remission. And the church just, when I told y'all, y'all just broke out in praise and glory. And then a week later, the cancer's back and there's nothing else they can do. And I was over at Bob and Carolyn's Monday. And Bob could hardly lift his head up off of his chest. I said, "Bob, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Just pray. Just pray." And so I'm praying that Bob's last days and Bob's last hours would be his best days and his best hours. And I heard David Fry say last Wednesday night how blessed he was to see Bob shuffle in and shuffle out of this church building and to watch how he's handling this adversity in his life. God's getting the glory for Bob's last days. I don't understand everything, but I know this. Bob Golden has victory this morning because his victory is in Christ Jesus. And by the way, we're only here for just a short time. And we're going to be in eternity forever. And by the way, there was another sun that stood still 2,000 years ago. He stayed on that cross when all the demons of hell were tempting him to come down. And yet Jesus' love for you and for me kept him on the... He stood still and paid the price for all our sin. And 3 days later, something supernatural took place. God jumped up out of that grave and came back to life. And Jesus is alive today and he's still being seen by the eyes of faith. I don't know what you need God to do today, but I'm living proof God loves his children and he loves to answer the prayers of his people. Would you bow your head with me? I don't know what your issue is this morning. I don't know where you're at or what all's going on, but I can tell you this. Somebody here needs to pray a sun stand still prayer. Some of you need to trust God today and live in obedience. Whatever he's calling you to do, it may be a financial matter. It may be a health problem. It may be a relationship issue. Can I tell you, God loves you just like he did Joshua. And God will hear your prayer today. Maybe you need to offer that prayer amidst all the saints. Father, none of us know how much time we have left. This may be our last day here on earth. And Lord, there's still time for the sun. Not to stand still, but to shine. Oh God, thank you for the victory that you gave Joshua. And I pray for that same victory to break forth in the lives of these folks here at Second Mile Church. There are many here who have issues. We all do, Lord. We're all a mess. And we all need King Jesus. So I pray that through the prayers of the saints today and through lives of obedience, that Jesus might be magnified and glorified in our life. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.